Thank you. It's lovely to be amongst you again, even though the weather's not that great. I left Huntley, it was actually pretty reasonable, so must be Auckland. Every time I come here, actually, it looks like this. So, as was said earlier, the reading was in Matthew 24, and our text also comes from the same place. But the text this morning is just verses 6 through 8. But before we open that up, let's just come to the Lord in a time of prayer. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, it is good to gather together in your house this morning. It's good to sing your praises. It is good to come before you. But Lord, now as we turn to your word, we recognize that we need your help. For Lord, none of us can begin to understand this word without you opening it to our eyes. Lord, we cannot even begin to understand the truths of your word without your spirit. So we just pray this morning, Lord God, that your spirit would fall down upon us. That, Lord, your spirit would carry your word into our hearts. That not one of us would leave here this morning without feeling nourished and fed by your word. Lord, we come here this morning not to hear the words of man, but to hear the word of God. So we pray that this morning you would speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'll just read that text. So that was Matthew 24 from verse 6 onwards. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginning of the birth pains. Brothers and sisters, Jesus says, do not be alarmed. There will be wars. Do not be alarmed. There will be earthquakes. Do not be alarmed. There will be terrorist attacks. Don't be alarmed. Children will be separated from their parents. Do not be alarmed. People will be killed. Do not be alarmed. Women will be abducted. But don't be alarmed. Nation will destroy nation. But don't be alarmed. Don't be alarmed. Don't be alarmed at this. On the eve of World War II, when it was just about to begin, a famous preacher said, "These are either the words of a madman or the words of God." They better be the words of God, because if this is not the words of God, it has to be the most horrible thing that you can declare to anyone who is going to suffer and see what is going on in the world. And we don't have to look very far on the news to see the tragedies that are taking place in the world right now. If we're honest, it looks quite reminiscent of other times of war, where one nation stands up and says, we're pushing our way out, and the rest stand up to fight. But Jesus comes to us at that time and he says, don't be alarmed. Brothers and sisters, why shouldn't we be alarmed? I mean, really, look at what's going on. Do we not have a right to be worried, to be concerned, to be frightened, to be scared? Jesus says no. In fact, he doesn't just say you don't have a right, he says you must not. Don't be alarmed. It's a command. To be alarmed is the same idea as what you feel like when your dog barks in the middle of the night. Now, I live in Huntley West. It's not a particularly nice neighborhood. And I've had it on evenings when the gate rattles and my dog goes berserk outside And I jump up and I'm sort of like stumbling around half awake, but I'm instantly on edge. I'm alarmed. I'm like, what's going on? Something's not right. And I walk outside and I've got that feeling of, I have to go outside to check, but I kind of don't want to. And my wife's like, you've got to go check. And I'm like, yeah, I kind of don't want to go check. You know, what if there's someone out there? I'm alarmed. Or it's like when your car goes off in the middle of the night. It's the same sense. We look out and we see the Islamic State pushing out and winning battles that they shouldn't. Getting bombed and killing. Abducting women and using them for their own goods. Separating families. Killing children. And we want to say that same feeling. Oh, I'm on alarm. What's going on? This isn't right. This shouldn't be happening. But Jesus says, wait. Wait. Don't be alarmed. And he gives us the reason why. He says, trust in God. Trust in God because he is in control. Trust in God because he has planned it. I'd like us to consider this morning in two ways. First of all, we trust in God because he is in control of the beginning. We can trust him in the beginning because if he's planned it and there's a beginning, it means it's starting in accordance with his plan. See, these wars, like what's happening right now, for we're in the beginning. The beginning goes from the time of Christ till when the great tribulation occurs just before he returns. We are in the beginning right now. And when these wars occur, we can trust him because we know he has planned it. We know he's sorting it out. We know that none of it is happening outside of his control. God isn't sitting in heaven and then all of a sudden, oh no, the Islamic State's turned up. What am I going to do? I better sort out a response. Is that how God acts? No. It's all part of his plan. And Jesus gives us the most amazingly rich image that enables us to understand this beginning period. And it's in verse 8. He says, all these are but the beginning of the birth pains. Now, obviously, I'm not the most experienced at birth pains myself. I've never been through them. I have three children, but I never experienced them myself. I did decide to speak to my wife on this, who is much more the expert than I am, who was able to enlighten me on such facts. But we can learn five things from this imagery of birth pains. First of all, brothers and sisters, birth pains are inevitable. Now, this is not including early caesarean sections and that sort of thing. In natural birth, birth pains are inevitable. I've never spoken to anyone that's managed to avoid them who's had children. Do you know of anyone that said, oh, well, yeah, I just skipped the whole birth pain part. The baby just came out. No. You know when you get pregnant that it's going to happen. Everyone knows it will be there eventually. And brothers and sisters, our world is in the same sense. We shouldn't be surprised when we see things like the Islamic State. We shouldn't be surprised when there's all these problems in Ukraine. Should we? Because they're inevitable. They're going to happen. We should expect them to happen. It's a normal part of our living in the fallen world before Christ returns again. Second of all, birth pains are painful. Are they not? I don't think I've ever spoken to a woman who said, didn't hurt at all. Didn't feel a thing. Anyone? We can try and dumb them down a bit. We use medication. We use various different drugs to make it easier. And brothers, sisters, is it not the same? No one said it's going to be easy. Jesus didn't say, trust in me because I'm going to make it that it's easy, or I'm going to make it that it doesn't hurt. In the same way that birth pains are painful, this world and our experiences will be painful. Was there pain in Christchurch when the earthquakes happened? Much, much pain. But we know that pain does not mean there is no good. Turn to Romans 8 with me briefly, if you've got your Bible. Romans chapter 8, probably one of the most glorious chapters to meditate on when you're suffering. Romans 8 verse 28, Paul says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose." We suffer through wars, through earthquakes, through famines, through tragedies. But ultimately, it's part of God's good plan for our life and for the life of this world. You see, all of these things have to come about. All of these things have to be done before Christ can return, don't they? It's part of His plan. It's inevitable that these things will come through. But God is using them for the world's good, for the good of those who love Him. It's all part of His plan, so that ultimately He will receive glory. And we will stand at the end of times, and we will look back on stages like this, stages of great turbulence, stages like World War I and II, and say, "Oh, I see why He did that. I understand why He did that." The third way birth pains, the third thing about birth pains is that they work good for us. You might say, "Really? Birth pains good?" But they do. If you look at all the things that happen during the early stages of birth pain, you recognize that they are almost essential. I remember speaking to a lady who went through very quickly. In the matter of about half an hour, the baby was born before she knew anything was going on, and she went into shock. But her body wasn't ready for it. See, everything that goes on beforehand is just leading up to the final event. The body is being prepared, and our world is in the exact same sense. All the events going on over in the Middle East right now, it's all preparation for the return of our Savior. It's essential. It must happen. It doesn't happen outside of God's control. It happens because it must happen. Because God has planned it. Could you imagine what it would be like if He didn't plan it? Well, then maybe Christ could return earlier, couldn't He? If God's not fully planning all of these events to take place, that means He's not fully planning when Christ returns. What if Jesus returned 100 years ago? That means we never would have been born, which ultimately means we never would have received eternal life, would we? Peter tells us, when he's speaking on the day the Lord will return, he says, "Do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." You see, Peter's saying that Jesus has not returned because God's waiting for everyone to be saved first. All the elect must be brought in first. That means these wars are an essential part of that plan. You see, Jesus could have come back before then, theoretically, I guess. But if Jesus came before the Islamic State came about, then there's heaps of people that would have missed out. There's people who are elect who would not have been saved. And I guarantee you there will be stories in the future of people who became Christian because of what's going on in the Middle East right now. It's always the case. You look at any period of persecution, any period of turbulence where Christians are treated harshly, and there is always a wealth of stories of people who come to Christ through it. One example, in China, in the heaviest period of persecution, one lady's husband was killed, and she was thrown in jail, and her children were taken away. After 5 years, she was brought to the prison gate, and her children were stood in front of her, a boy and a girl. And the guard said, "Here's a piece of paper. Write down on that piece of paper that you hate Christ and that you deny him, and you can have your children and go." And she said, "I love my children. I would do anything for them. But I love my Savior more." She was locked in prison for another 20 years. Her children were taken and indoctrinated with communism and to hate Christ in every turn. And one day she finally got out of prison and she went to find her children, and she found them. And they hurled rebuke upon her. They hated her with every fiber of their being. And someone said to her, "Was it worth it?" And she said, "I'd do it all again." Why? Because Jesus is that great. Isn't he? Is he that great to you? If the Islamic State comes here, because it may, I mean, all the superpowers may fight against them, but they may come here. If it's the will of the Lord, they may conquer the whole world. Are you prepared to stand up and say, "I love Jesus more than all of that? I love him more than my own life"? Because I guarantee you there's been many Christians in Iraq and Syria who have had to say, "I love Jesus more." Birth pains also fluctuate, don't they? In the early stages, they come and go. And it's the same way now. There are periods of trouble. There are periods of ease. It doesn't mean God's not in control because it's not flatline. It's just part of his plan. He's working it out. He's working out his plan through history. Birth pains are also uncontrollable, aren't they? Ever managed to control your birth pains? No, you can't. That, for that reason, we can't say, "Why, God? Why are these things happening? Stop it. I want to stop it." You know, the same response will be given to us that's given to the mother who says, "Why must I go through these birth pains?" Because it's part of going through it. You can't get to the end without going through the beginning. And it's the same for us. We can't get to Christ returning without going through the journey of history. It can't be skipped, and we can't control it. We call it the beginning period. And it's a long period. It's been 2,000 years already. But brothers and sisters, we can trust God in this period because ultimately it's his period. He is in control of this period. There's nothing that happens in the beginning that is outside of his control. from the moment, the second that Jesus died, that very second where he died, that was when God wanted him to die. That was the perfect time for it to happen. And everything going on after that, World War I, World War II, the Gulf War, pick what you want, the periods in between, the periods of relative peace, all of it is falling exactly where God wants it to fall. And that means when you look at the news and you see the tragedies going on in the Middle East, when you see terrorist attacks in Australia, or if they come here, we don't need to be alarmed. We don't need to be caught off guard, because ultimately, God's in control. He's got it all sorted out. We only need to worry if God's not in control. But brothers and sisters, we don't just find hope and trust in the beginning. We must trust in God because he controls the end. There is a beautiful truth of certainty in this. We can trust God now because ultimately there will be an end. It won't just go on forever. One day it will end. Have a look at verse 6. Jesus says, "You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet." If the end is not yet, it means there is an end. And this is a beautiful promise. For anyone who is suffering, not just seeing wars, but suffering in any human ailment. Suffering in anything as a result because of the fall. One day, your suffering will end. I don't know what you're going through in life right now. This is the burden of being a visiting preacher. You don't know what the people are suffering with. But whatever it is, one day, your suffering will end. You know, the beautiful thing about birth pains, sounds like a strange comment, but the beautiful thing about birth pains is that you know something is coming, don't you? And although it's hard, and although it's difficult, and although realistically no one really wants to go through it, you know that there is a beautiful miracle that happens at the end. There is something indescribable that happens at the end. I remember people telling me about it. We were just about to have our first child, and a man at church came up to me and said, "Oh, I bet you you'll cry." And I was like, "Oh, I won't cry. I'm a man. I don't cry. What are you talking about? I'm not going to cry." And tell you what, seeing the birth of my child, I wept. Such joy and relief. It was a miracle. And anyone who's seen a baby be born, it's a miracle. Like, how does this thing happen? And we can see history in the same light. Because although we have to travel through these difficulties, we have to face the Islamic State, we have to see what's going on in Ukraine, one day that miracle will occur. One day our Lord will return. And we can fix our eyes on that. We can fix our eyes on Christ, knowing that one day he will be here. Wars will cease, never to rise again. What does it say? The child will play with the snake. You know, like, what a promise. That's how we can trust now in suffering. Because we know that this isn't how it's meant to be, and it will get better. For us who are Christians, there's a beautiful promise in this. Have a look at verse 31. of the same chapter. Jesus, speaking later on about when he will return, he says, "And he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." One day it will happen. And we won't be left hanging. We won't be left dry. From every corner of the world, the world's not flat. It means the compass. Everywhere, north, east, south, west, everywhere you look, the elect of God will be gathered in. Those of you who sit here this morning who believe in Jesus, that's you. Your suffering will end. You will be picked up and taken to be with your Lord and Savior forever. No more suffering. No more tears. Just joy and perfection. But in every promise and blessing in Scripture, there's also a curse. In verse 30, Jesus says, "Then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." Brothers and sisters, there's two sides to this coin. The fact of the matter is that yes, one day it will end. But for many, many, it will be a day of mourning and not a day of praise. For those people out here around us, for our neighbors, our family, our friends, they will mourn when they see the return of Christ. We think it's bad now when we see the likes of Islamic State. It is nothing compared to the vengeance of an angry God. So I have two questions for you this morning. First of all, will you be mourning when Christ returns? Because that's the most important question. Nothing else matters. You either will be mourning or praising. And only you can answer that. And the other question is, what are you going to do about it? It's a fact. The people out there will face the same thing. They'll be mourning or they'll be praising. So what are we going to do with this knowledge? As a church and as individuals, are we going to tell them? I often wonder how many people, I mean, no one's going to have an excuse when Jesus returns, but I wonder how many people will think of family and friends and say, "If only they had told me." Can you think of anyone? Maybe it's a work colleague. Maybe it's a family or a friend who you've known your whole life, but you've never really talked to them. They know you're a Christian. They know what you believe. But you've never really openly spoken to them about it. Will they stand at the end and say, "Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you warn me of what was going to happen?" May it be not that way. Brothers and sisters, make sure you tell everyone you can. Because it may be the only chance you have. Tomorrow, tonight, we don't know when he will return. We don't know when the end will come, when the beginning comes and passes, and when the end takes place. Don't leave it too late. Please. It's very easy when we look on the news and you just see all the stuff going on everywhere. Ebola, famines, death, wars, murder, racism, hatred. Everywhere you look, it's so easy to give in to despair. It's so easy to just go, oh, it's all over with. What's the point? To be full of worry. But brothers and sisters, Jesus comes to you this morning and he says, do not be alarmed, for I am the first and the last. I am the Alpha and the Omega. Through me all things were made, and through me all things are sustained. I am in control of all things. I have ordered them all. I have ordained them all. Nothing happens outside of my will, and I will return at the right time. Who better to trust than me? Brothers and sisters, trust in the Lord. Don't be alarmed. Don't be worried when you see the news, because he's got it all under control. You can rest like a child in his arms and know that everything's going to be all right, that everything will work out. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, thank you. Thank you that you are in control. We need not be full of despair or worry because we know that you've got it all sorted out. Even though we don't understand why things happen, even though we don't know why these terrible things are going on, Lord, what we do know is that you are in control. Help us to trust you this morning. Help us to trust you moving forward. Help us to be the symbols of hope in this world, because we have a great God in whom we can trust. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.